oftentimes we come to a point in our lives where we begin to question the purpose of our existence, especially when certain things have taken place. Sometimes we feel like nothing much is happening, which makes us feel like there is no real purpose to our lives. Oftentimes we go through the mundane ritual stuff of life. And there's nothing, as far as we're concerned, that is exciting. There's nothing that makes us feel like life is worth living. But I point you to the book of Ecclesiastes, the same book that Brother John Young read for us. And in that book, especially from in chapter 11, well, if you think about it, from chapter 1 to chapter 7, Solomon has explored everything possible to understand what is the real meaning of life. He tried luxury. He tried, you know, building elaborate buildings. He relied on the philosophies of men. He relied on the wisdom of men. And he kept on coming up empty-handed. In other words, he kept on discovering that there was more to life than what the world has to offer. In chapter 8 through to chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes, we now find that he begins to tell us how we ought to live our lives. He says that when all is said and done, if a man has not put God first, then his life is being lived in a big waste and in futility. In other words, everything revolves around answering the question, have I given my life to the Almighty God? If that's not the case, then we are wasting our lives away. It reminds me of the question that James asked in James chapter 4 and verse 13. He says, what is your life? And that's a very important question to ask. What is your life? I think that's in James chapter 4 and verse 13 and 14. And it's the question I want us to think about today. What is your life? You may be in your teens. You may be even younger than that. You may be in your 20s or your 30s or your 40s or your 50s or even older than that. The question still applies to you. What is your life? And I want to spend the next few minutes this morning answering that question, especially as the wise man Solomon gives it to us in his book. First of all, in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 5 and 6, if you look at that particular passage, it will tell you something about life. Verses 5 and 6 of chapter 11, it says what?
As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether thou shalt prosper, either this or that, or whether they both should be alike good.
In those two verses, Solomon wants us to understand that there are many things in life that we don't know, that we truly can't predict. And really and truly, he's saying, brethren, that life is an adventure. What is your life? It is an adventure. It is an adventure because even with the most careful of plans that we put in place, there are things that will happen that we never saw coming, that we never knew was going to happen. Who saw years ago this COVID-19 in 2020? Where 500,000 people have died and the number continues to grow. And that's just the United States alone. Who saw that coming? In other words, life is an adventure. In other words, my dear friends, sometimes it will be exciting. Sometimes it will be hazardous. Sometimes it will be filled with risk. But that is life itself. It is adventurous. And James tells us, as I mentioned before, James says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, you will go to such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. Life is an adventure. Proverbs 27 verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what the day may bring. So my dear friend, as you live your life, you're going to find that there are things you can't help. There are risks that you have to take. Some of these risks are unavoidable, but you have to take them. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul, when he wrote to the Christians in Ephesus, said in verses 15 and 16 regarding the risks or the kind of life that we're living. Read from my brother.
See then that you walk circumspectly,
mm-hmm. which means carefully, yes.
Not as fools, but as wise, mm-hmm. redeeming the time because the days are evil.
The days are evil. They're filled with risk. They're filled with things that we never expected, we never planned for. Therefore, he says, see then that you walk how? Carefully or circumspectly. Life is an adventure, my dear friend. And Solomon is teaching us that. That there are things we cannot be prepared for. In this life that we're living, it is an adventurous journey. It is not the destination. Life itself is not the destination. It's an adventurous journey. And by this I mean that we will go through it only once, because Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death then comes the judgment. Sometimes this adventurous journey will take you to places that you never expected, you never planned for. I believe that most of us will admit that where we are now in life is not where we had expected maybe 15 years before or 20 years ago. But that's life. It takes you places that you never expected, and you have met people that you never expected to have met. But that is life itself. Secondly, what is your life? James asks the question. Solomon answers the question in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 7 through 9. What is a life? It is a blessing. Look at verses 7 through 9 of Ecclesiastes chapter 11.
Truly, the light is sweet, mm-hmm. and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer in thee the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment.
This section here is telling us that life is a blessing. It is a blessing, my dear friend, and therefore we should spend time enjoying it. Yes. What is your life? It is a blessing. We must learn to appreciate the opportunities that God has given us to enjoy ourselves. That is important. Enjoy your children. Enjoy your grandchildren. Make time for them. Laugh with them. Play with them. It is important, my friend, that we spend time communing and making friends with people. It is a travesty of life when a man lives his life with no intention of fellowshipping with others or having friends. You know, there's an old African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. And therefore, it is so important that we learn the importance of our friends. Life is a blessing. Learn to enjoy even the little things like nature. Maybe winter or spring or summer or autumn, whatever it is. Enjoy nature as it is. Learn to appreciate the little things that makes life enjoyable. Don't spend your precious time looking at every criticism that people have hurled at you. Don't spend all your time trying to retaliate at every criticism. When you do that, you rob yourself of time, precious time, that you could have used to enjoy life. And because of that, not only have you robbed yourself, but others have robbed you of some of the simple blessings of life. It is important. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and chapter 7 and verse 21, look at what Solomon says. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 21. What does it say?
Also take no heed mm-hmm. unto all words that are spoken, mm-hmm. lest thou hear thy servant curse thee.
Don't spend time taking heed of every word that is said. In other words, don't take everything personal. That's what it is saying. Or else if you do, you will never have time to focus on the important things of life. Because life is a blessing, we must understand that this life is temporary. It is only for a time. If you go back to what was read in chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes, and in verse 9, look at what it says again. Chapter 11 and verse 9.
Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Mm-hmm. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth.
Yes.
and walk in the ways of thine heart, in the sight of thine eyes. Mm-hmm. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment.
So they are only for a time. They're only for a time. And then we will have to approach God, so to speak, and give an account as to how we have utilized the time and the life that he has given to us. Sadly, among the greatest regrets that people have in life is when they've reached a point where they are no longer able to enjoy some of the things that they could have enjoyed, but never did. Some of the basic things of life. And you just need to talk to folks who are behind bars serving life sentences. Maybe those who are in hospice care. Maybe those who are shut-ins and are no longer able to do what their hearts now desire to do, but the flesh is not allowing them. And I'm saying, my dear friend, life is a blessing. So therefore, it is important that even in this time of COVID, that we try to find time to even, we talk about having a virtual social, or even meet up with friends, albeit within the regulations of COVID. Because if you don't, you'll find that life, the life that you're living, becomes nothing but a huge waste. What is your life? James asks the question. Again, Solomon answers the question in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. In chapter 12 and verse 9, look at what he says in chapter 12 and verse 9.
And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs.
In other words, so the preacher imparts knowledge. And he does that from the word of God. Because what he's teaching us is that life itself is a school. Oh, yes, life itself is a school. And by that I mean, in this school of life, you're going to make mistakes. I didn't say perhaps you will make mistakes. I said that you have made mistakes and you will continue to make mistakes. But this school is teaching us that we should learn from them. Learn from our mistakes. We are going to make bad decisions this year. And next year, as long as God has spared our lives to see another year, we are going to have to make room for mistakes that we will make and bad decisions. There must, however, every mistake that we make, especially those that carry some serious consequences, that we must learn from them and become wiser as a result. You know, conventional wisdom tells us that the older a man gets, the wiser he gets. Have you heard that before? The older person gets, you know, gray hair symbolizes wisdom. But that's not necessarily true, is it? No. And therefore, you will find that some of the hardest people to learn or to be taught are those who are well up in age, among the hardest of students. Proverbs 12 and verse 15, the Bible says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. That's what it says. And so life itself is a school. It is a school of hard knocks. You won't find some of the lessons of life in college. They don't teach you some of these things. You won't find them in schools, because life itself will teach you unique lessons that cannot be taught within four walls of the classroom. Children and young people who are listening on, one of the reasons why you ought to listen to your parents, it is because they themselves have been there. They themselves have made mistakes, and they do not want you to repeat the mistakes that they have made. Parents don't come across, or we should never ever come across, as if we were perfect teenagers or perfect young people. We have been there, and we have made mistakes that are following us even to this very day. And so when we turn to our children and to young people and we tell them certain things, they should understand that we're trying to help them to avoid certain mistakes that will really transform their lives in a negative way. And therefore, they must never forget that life itself is a school. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, you know, one of the things about life is that everybody makes mistakes. We should learn not only from our mistakes, but from other people's mistakes also. Look around and learn from these mistakes, When things are done by other folks, learn and adjust your lives accordingly. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, listen what Paul told Corinthian Christians.
Now all these things happen unto them for examples. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come.
All the mistakes that the Jews made when they left Egypt, and how they grumbled against God, and how they quarreled against Moses, and how they rebelled, and they got involved in idolatry. The Bible says that these things were written for our admonition, that we should look at those mistakes that they made and learn from them. We all remember what Paul said in Romans 15, verse 4. Whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We learn from these things. Life itself is a school. Learn, my friends. And then it's important also, lastly, that we answer the question, what is your life? What is your life? Because in verse 9 of Ecclesiastes 11, and the brother read it earlier on, in verse 9, but I want you to get that last point of verse 9. Please read it again for me, because it's going to tell us something about life.
Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth.
Mm-hmm.
Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth.
Yes.
And walk in the ways of thine heart in the sight of thine eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But know thou, that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment.
God will bring thee to a state of accountability. Life itself is not without checks and balances. And the Bible is telling us that, yes, life itself is about accountability. When all is said and done, life is about pleasing God. Not ourselves, not others. It's about pleasing God. Some of us older folks will remember, maybe, I don't know, it could be 30 years ago, perhaps 40 years ago, when the series Roots came out. I think this was back in the 70s. And in it, whenever Roots was starting, this series, the narrator would always say, the two most important days in a man's life are the day he was born and the day he found out why he was born. Don't think about that. Because when a man finds out his purpose for being here on earth, it can radically transform the way how he lives his life. And I'm saying, my dear friend, there must be checks and balances with how we live our lives. Galatians 6 and verse 8, Paul says, for he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap what? Corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. In other words, whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. Life, my friend, is about accountability. We will have to give an account of the years, whether they be 20 or 10 or 15 or 50 years that God has given us, give an account as to how we have lived our lives. There must be checks and balances, because each of us is prone to wander and to be reckless in our behavior. And therefore, there must be checks and balances. No society, not this one, not any society, can function properly without accountability. You take away all the laws on the books, and you will see the chaos that will ensue in our society. So we have laws to protect the innocent and the vulnerable. We have laws to punish the guilty. Without accountability, men will always do wrong with the understanding that there are no consequences. And therefore, Jesus Christ said in Luke 12, verse 48, to whom much is given, much is expected. You have been given life. Live it well. Live it to please God, because the time will come when we will give an account. Romans 14, verse 12, the Bible says, see, so then each one must give an account of himself to God. I think Paul went on to give an even clearer picture of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. When Paul wrote to these Christians, obviously they were eager to hear from Paul, and Paul gave them 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Listen what Paul told them.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad.
So each one will appear, not some of us, for he says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, meaning in this life. So, I'm talking to you today. How old are you? Maybe you're a teenager. Maybe you're a young adult. Maybe you're middle age. Maybe you're elderly. It doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is that we are going to have to give account for how we have lived our lives. So what have I said this morning? I said that when James asked the question, what is your life? Solomon tells us that it's an adventure full of risks, exciting times, but sad times. We just can't predict everything. And therefore, we need to heavily rely on God. What is life? It is a blessing. Even right under our noses, we have those blessings. But we are so preoccupied with other things, with the moaning and groaning, that we have forgotten the simple blessings of life that God has given us. That is why when we pray, we must never, ever forget to say, Lord, I thank you. And the brother led us in that song this morning. Lord, I thank you, because sometimes what we're guilty of is an ungrateful heart. What is life? It's a school. We are sitting down learning from the various mistakes and the things that happen. We must learn from them. Because if we don't learn from them, we will find ourselves repeating these mistakes over and over again. And lastly, I said to you that life itself is about accountability. That each of us will have to tell God how we have used the 70, if that's what you got, or the 20 years or the 30 years that you got. How are you using your life today? Are you using your life to serve God? Are you a child of God, ensuring that your life is revolving around the Almighty God? How are you doing it? Are you so preoccupied with your career, with making money, with getting education, and God is the what left on your list? But know this, that God will bring into judgment everything that we have done. If you're not a child of God, well, frankly speaking, I can't think of a better time than now to say, you know what, I want to become a servant of Jesus Christ. Not tomorrow, because as we pointed out, tomorrow is promised to no man. Proverbs 27, verse 1. So therefore, we have today. And therefore, your response ought to be, Lord, I want to be a child of God today. If you're willing, my friend, as you're seeing on the screen, not only have you heard this message, but if you're willing to believe this message, because belief, the Bible says, is the way to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. You must repent of your sins. In other words, you must be willing to change. And how we change is by first changing our minds. That's what repentance is. It is a turning around. And Luke 13 verse 5 says, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You must be willing to acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. Confess that he's the Son of God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33 says, he tells us that if we don't, he will deny us before his Father who's in heaven. And we must be baptized in water. Now, the water has no spiritual power, but it is the obedience to Mark 16, 16, when Jesus Christ says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 tells us that when a man is baptized, the blood of Jesus Christ washes away his sins. And therefore, the water symbolizes the blood of Jesus Christ. Unless that is done, the life you're living will be nothing but a continued waste until you die. And that's the mother of all tragedies. Let us bow our heads as we pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for having given us life. And Father, at this time, we are even more mindful of our lives, considering that so many have lost theirs, not just from the virus, but from other things in life, other diseases, from accidents, from violence, and the list goes on and on. Frankly speaking, Lord, we don't even know that if we will survive this year. But help us to use our lives wisely, to live our lives wisely, to walk circumspectly, to make sure that if we're not Christians, that we become Christians today, not tomorrow, not next week, because no one knows what tomorrow holds. And if we are members of the church, Father, help us not to live our lives monotonously, but to make sure, Father, that we're giving you the praise and the glory that you richly deserve. That we're living in such a way, Father, that brings you honor and glory and that can draw others to Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray, dear God, that when we all stand before thee on the day of judgment, like Paul, Father, we can say confidently that we have fought a good fight, and we have finished the course, and we have kept the faith. Father, it's in the Son's name I pray. Amen.